So I shared with you earlier that there is assembly required on Shabbat, and you're going to hear an introduction that wasn't planned and just came about now to my sermon, because there's no because, just because. This is one of those moments where God says do something, he doesn't give you an explanation, just do it. This is one of those moments. I shared with you that everybody brings a piece with them. However God uses that, whether it's part of the service or whether it's into someone's life, every piece is important. If you're not here, then that piece is absent. There's no telling what God would have done with that piece. But he still functions even if the piece isn't there. Jerry today was talking about malaise. I didn't read her drosh. I trust her with her droshes now. So I wasn't prepared for the word malaise today. And malaise, it's a wonderful word when you think about it and how she defined it. It's halfway up to the point that I have a confession to make. The music from today was from last week. So that piece of the puzzle was already there. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the second song, Come Let Us Go Up. You have to go up to Jerusalem, to the mountain, to where the temple is. To the point that you can't go halfway up and get to your destination. So today, it's the characteristics of sheep and the character of the shepherd. Yeshua is our great shepherd. Think of it this way. A shepherd takes his sheep. They only make it halfway. Is that enough? Is that sufficient if they're grazing up on the mountain? A while ago, Sonia provided us some imagery of what we anticipate grazing looks like. But then she gave us a stark reality that it's not as spacious, it's not as abundant, bountiful. Thank you. This is what happens when we do something in real time. It wasn't as bountiful, so they had to trust in the shepherd to take them where they would graze. So I want to pose this question to you this morning. Why does Yeshua identify himself as the great shepherd and we as sheep? This appears to be a metaphor, yet is it simply a metaphor where one is led, shepherded by another, or is there more to the rather simple visual representation? If sheep have a shepherd, they know their shepherd, and the shepherd is most effective in calming them. Thus, the context of Yochanan, John chapter 10, is that of a shepherd, and not just any shepherd, but what has been revealed to us as the great shepherd. So when we read John chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we are reading about sheep that have a shepherd, not a shepherd without sheep. Keep that in mind. If you're a shepherd without sheep, what are you? You're unemployed. What does a shepherd do if they don't have any sheep to shepherd? Twiddle their thumbs, maybe, yes. Or maybe they're looking for another occupation. Road trip, there we go. So verse 1, I can see this is going to be an interactive sermon today. Yes, indeed, I tell you, the person who doesn't enter the sheep pen through the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. So just because they may look like a sheep and they get into the pen doesn't mean they are a shepherd. But the one who goes in through the gate is the sheep's own shepherd. Think of it this way. A gate has a latch. It might have a key. What have we talked about with keys before? You're the one where authority is given. So if you go in through the gate, you unlock the latch. You have the authority to enter. Yet those who jump the fence, so to speak, are bypassing all authority. So the context to this relationship is further established through these verses here in verses 3 through 5. This is the one the gatekeeper admits, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep, each one by name, and leads them out. He knows each one of his sheep by name. He knows their characteristics. He knows their flaws, their idiosyncrasies, their strengths, their weaknesses. He knows which sheep need to eat more because maybe they're high anxiety and they burn up more. You can look at many analogies. After taking out all that are his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. There's two ways to lead people. Yeshua is talking about going on ahead of them. I've shared this analogy before. Sometimes I walk faster than my wife and I'm ahead of her. Then I look back and I said, where did she go? This is usually in a store. Something may have caught her eye. I mean, who knows? So this is one way, but the one way that he's talking about here is that they're following him. They're not distracted. They're not looking at something else. Oh, that looks like a good piece of grass. Let me eat that. They're listening to his voice. So the shepherd is always talking to them as he's moving forward. The other way to lead is leading from behind so that you can see where all your sheep are. What's the problem, though? The sheep are actually leading the shepherd, not the shepherd leading the sheep. So there's an element of trust that the shepherd must have if he's leading his sheep forward, that they're listening to him from behind. Verse 5, they never follow a stranger but will run away from him because strangers' voices are unfamiliar to them. There are lots of voices that sound like Messiah, his teachings, but are they truly his? The question is, a sheep has to discern the shepherd's voice. In verse 5, we learn that one attribute of sheep is they require that which is familiar to them. That which is not familiar to them will cause them to demonstrate such characteristics as timidity, fearfulness, and being easily panicked. One might say sheep can be easily spooked, leading to becoming fearful and thus demonstrating panic. Sudden, uncontrollable fear or anxiety, often causing wildly unthinking behavior. Does this sound like any of us? Sometimes we overreact to something. Sometimes we lose focus on where we are, who we're following. Sometimes a teaching sounds so pleasing to the ear that it must be from God. Yet is it truly from our shepherd? Quoting Zechariah 13:7, Yeshua conveys what will happen when the shepherd is stricken. In Matthew 26, 30 and 31, after singing the Hallel, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They went out and likely up to the Mount of Olives. They didn't malaise, let's put it that way, but they went up. Yeshua said to them, tonight you will all lose faith in me. As the Tanakh says, I will strike the shepherd dead and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. I don't know what I would have been like then. I probably would have been like everyone else, dejected, not knowing the full story or having the full picture. Glad I am here now than if I were there then. I'm going to share a few other words with you that define the characteristics of sheep. You're not going to like them. I already know this. Sheep can be considered gullible, easily led. They're not very smart. Yet at the same time, sheep can be easily panicked. They are not very intelligent creatures in that they can be easily manipulated and thus easily tricked. Though they know the voice of their shepherd and will follow, they can be easily persuaded by another non-threatening voice, a voice that is pleasing to the ears. We are warned about such tactics. They are vulnerable to fear. Think about that for a minute. They are more susceptible to fear. You can say something, you could just make a noise, and they're scared. They tend to be more susceptible to fear because they can be rather trusting as well. Though this seems to contradict what I said earlier, consider Shaul's warning to believers as it pertains to false teachers and false prophets, and thus their trustworthiness towards them. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you before God and Messiah Yeshua, who will judge the living and the dead when he appears and establishes his kingdom. Proclaim the word, he says. Be on hand whether the time seems right or not. Whether the time seems right or not. The Spirit of God is always with you, whether the time seems right or not. If the Spirit of God is with you when the time seems right or not, then his word is with you whether the time seems right or not. Convict, censure, and exhort with unfailing patience and with teaching. For the time is coming when people will not have patience for sound teaching, but will cater to their passions and gather around themselves teachers who say whatever their ear itches to hear. Yes, they will stop listening to the truth, but will turn aside to follow myths. Then there's Kepha's warning. But among the people, there were also false prophets. Just as there will be false teachers, will be. Kepha's speaking future tense. Just as there will be. Future tense could be tomorrow after he wrote this, or 2,000 years after he wrote this. Will be is future tense. Just as there will be false teachers among you, under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their debaucheries, and because of them, the true way will be maligned. Maligned, malaise. Not meaning the same thing, but very close if you think about it. In their greed, they will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their punishment decreed long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. Sheep require someone who is familiar to them in order for them to not be fearful or easily panicked. So you can see how important the role of a shepherd is to the well-being of the sheep. Sheep require a strong shepherd who can thus settle the sheep, reassure the sheep, and thus continue to guide the sheep when an intruder attempts to snatch them away from the shepherd. Likewise, the shepherd is able to identify his own sheep. Yet it appears what Yeshua was conveying was not fully understood by those who were listening to his message. Consider verses 6 and 7. Yeshua used this indirect manner of speaking with them, but they didn't understand what he was talking to them about. So Yeshua said to them again, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that I am the gate for the sheep." So it's like, here's the pen. You go in through the gate. They didn't understand who or what the gate was. Yeshua is saying, I'm the gate that keeps out that which should not enter the pen. Thus, this passage of Yochanan's gospel focuses on the shepherd and his sheep and is being conveyed during Sukkot, the very time Yeshua shares that he is the river of living water and the bread of life, and thus amplifies himself as the great shepherd, the very shepherd who came for the lost sheep of Israel. Verses 8 through 10. All those who have come before me have been thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If someone enters through me, he will be safe and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life, life in its fullest measure. Last Shabbat, again, this was the message for last week, so 2 weeks ago, was Sanctity of Life Shabbat, that which this verse was the inspiration to the message as it pertains to life and the life we have been given and thus the life we are to live. Thus, when we do so through our great shepherd, there is a fullness his sheep can experience. That fullness is experienced through our kingdom-minded focus in life. It is the good shepherd who not only provides us this opportunity, but empowers us to live in this reality. Then Yeshua conveys who he is, yet from another perspective this time. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he isn't a shepherd, and the sheep aren't his own, sees the wolf coming, abandons the sheep, and runs away. Then the wolf drags them off and scatters them. The hired worker behaves like this because that's all he is, a hired worker. So it doesn't matter to him what happens to the sheep. I'm not a hired worker, by the way. I'm compensated, but I'm not hired. Nobody hired me for this position. But needless to say, Yeshua is my great shepherd. I follow him. He tells me to do this. This is what I do. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know him? He knows you. The question is it reciprocal? Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life on behalf of the sheep, my life is no more valuable than yours. I cannot lay down my life the way Yeshua did. Yet I can do everything in my power to point you to Yeshua, to be an example as he has been an example to us. So who are his own? In the context of this passage, and Yeshua is proclaiming, he has come for the lost sheep of Israel. He's referring to the Jewish people here. No mystery. Not even a remez here, not even a hint. Came for the lost sheep of Israel. We have seen this throughout the Gospels that convey the very prophecies that became a reality and thus further validation of who Yeshua is. The very rock that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, Psalm 118:22. Yes, he said, I tell you that no prophet is accepted in his hometown. It's true. I'm telling you, when Eliyahu was in Israel and the sky was sealed off for 3.5 years so that all the land suffered a severe famine, there were many widows. But Eliyahu was sent to none of them, only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Zidon. This is Luke chapter 4, verses 24 through 26. Yet Yeshua also conveyed that there were more sheep than the lost sheep of Israel. They were the foreign sheep, more sheep from another pen, not Israel, but that as he identifies here in verse 16. Also, I have other sheep which are not from this pen. I need to bring them, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. We can look at Ephesians 2, where the two become one. Not that they become one new creation, but they become one flock. Sheep from one pen, sheep from another pen, become one entity. They do not change their form, they do not change their identity, but they become part of one community. I believe there is a reason Yeshua speaks of us as sheep, and thus he as our shepherd. I believe it is because we possess many of these characteristics of sheep. Yet these are not the only ones for which I have shared. There are more. I'm going to share some of them with you. So this Shabbat, I won't be able to go through all of them, but we'll share some of these other characteristics, and thus next Shabbat, you'll hear some more. As I mentioned, they're easily influenced by a leader. This could be the shepherd or a false shepherd or the one who is hired. Doesn't matter. In many ways, people desire to be led and thus require someone to lead them. Leading is not something that comes naturally to people. Leaders, they say, are made. I believe there is a means within us that does give us this ability. I speak from my own experience that this is the last place I ever envisioned myself being. I was not a back-of-the-row person. Where are you less seen? In the middle of a group. I would sit in the middle pew, in the middle seat, basically hidden from everyone else. Yet, there's no one I can hide from. Or I know when I can hide myself in when I'm up here. Thus, in many ways, people desire to be led. We all need direction, and thus being led is a necessity for us. Even leaders need to be led. Again, I remind you of the warnings from Shaul and Kepha. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you before God and Messiah Yeshua, who will judge the living and the dead when he appears and establishes his kingdom. Proclaim the word. Be on hand with it whether the time seems right or not. Convict, censure, and exhort with unfailing patience and with teaching. For the time is coming when people will not have patience for sound teaching, but will cater to their passions and gather around themselves teachers who will say whatever their ears itch to hear. We don't like the pastor. He's conveying too many messages that are too convicting. I think it's time for a new pastor. Some churches do this. You have what are known as a deacon-led church and a pastor-led church. Sometimes there's advantages and disadvantages to both. Sonia's nodding her head here. Sounds like she's been through a few of them. The point that I'm getting at is the shepherd must be free to speak, yet also must be accountable to his words as well. I've shared with you many times, and I provide you all sorts of scripture here. In other words, what am I doing? As a math geek, doing long division, I'm showing you all of my work. I'm not giving you the answer and saying, oh, here's the answer. Well, how did you get to it? No, you're seeing everything. For the time is coming when people will not have patience for sound teaching, but will cater to their passions and gather around themselves teachers who say whatever their ear itches to hear. Yes, they will stop listening to the truth, but will turn aside to follow myths. And then Kepha's warning. But among the people there were also false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you. Under false pretenses they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their debaucheries, and because of them the true way will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their punishment decreed long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. Thus, when we look further at the characteristics of sheep, it becomes all too real that we possess many of these same qualities. Sheep are vulnerable to mob psychology. The term today is groupthink. We can be susceptible to groupthink, mob rule, majority rule, with the rationale that the majority agree, then it must be right or acceptable. Was Yeshua in the majority when he spoke? Are we in the majority as a congregation, whether the Jewish community or the church? No. What is a majority but a herd? Sometimes it is more influential. Well, we just did this poll and 70% say this. Well, that is a majority, but is the majority in the right? For those of you who have ever done anything with polls, the numbers are influenced by the way the questions are asked. So if you ever want to look at a poll and its results, look at the notes associated with the questions and the reasoning behind it and the things, because there's so much information. It's like 30, 40, 50 pages worth of information based on the results of 10 questions or whatever. The determining factor is not the majority, but rather the voice of one from our perspective. Remember, he calls us to the narrow gate, not the wide gate. Go in through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide and the road broad. The groupthink gate, we might want to call it. The wide gate that opens up and allows just everybody in who wants to enter. I see the narrow gate as single file, one at a time. Nobody can sneak past you. It's one at a time. Whether there's a turnstile or not, I don't know. But it is the narrow gate and the hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We have this big tent mentality within the body of Messiah. And yes, it's a wonderful thing to think about. Yes, as many people as possible. But what are the warnings that we see in Scripture? The 10 virgins, 5 yes, 5 no. The narrow gate, only a few find it. How important is this? We have to be careful when we start looking at the majority. This is a congregation that's never looked at the majority. They're not accepting us. Well, maybe we need to change and conform to where they're coming from. We're in our 12th year. I've shared this with you before. I want to say it's 5 or 6 years ago. We got approved to put an advertisement in the main Jewish film festival. A Messianic congregation having an ad in there would have been huge. We looked at the offerings. There were films in there that contradicted Scripture and what we believe. And as much as we wanted to be a voice, our name would be associated with that. We said no. Yet I believe God has other plans. Sheep cannot defend themselves. They're grazers. They're not predators. They are vulnerable to attack. They cannot defend themselves. Sheep are unable to defend themselves, and thus the shepherd must do so for them. Thus, what does our shepherd do? But he provides us with the armor of Adonai in Ephesians 6. Finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord, in union with his mighty strength. Use all the armor and weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. Remember the debaucheries, the false teachings, so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So take up every piece of war equipment God provides, so that when the evil day comes, you'll be able to resist. And when the battle is won, you will be standing. Now, I didn't go any further than this, but if you read 14 on, I think it's to 18, it lists what the armor is. So what does he do? He equips us with weapons of mass destruction. Simply put, the Word of God. Everything else is defensive except for the sword, which is multi-purpose. A sword can be defensive, but it can also be offensive. So the Word can protect you by defending yourself, or you can go on the offensive, just as Yeshua did. God said that man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God, attacking the adversary through the word of God. You're not going to like this one either. Sheep are jealous. We tend to feel or show envy of someone or their achievements and advantages within the body of Messiah. This attribute can undermine the body, and thus doesn't Adonai convey to us one of a humble nature. Well, look at them, they're doing this all the time, or look at them, Rabbi said he can do this, or whatever it is. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Heaven is my throne, says Adonai, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? What sort of place could you devise for my rest? Didn't I myself make all these things? This is how they all came to be, says Adonai. The kind of person on whom I look with favor is one with a poor and humble spirit who trembles at my word. This is not the haughty or the prideful that God is looking for, but is the one who is in poor of spirit and humble in spirit. We're not to puff ourselves up. We're not to desire someone else's gifts. What is that? Covetousness. Jealousy leads to a greater transgression. You're not going to like this one either. Sheep are competitive for dominance. We can see this attribute play out and is ultimately fed by jealousy. The shepherd needs to calm his sheep and thus keep order among them. You have competition that goes on, vying for the attention of the rabbi. Well, I want to be the rabbi's favorite. Or I want the rabbi to give me a good word or something, whatever it is. Matthew chapter 20. Then Zebedee's son came to Yeshua with their mother. She bowed down, begging a favor from him. He said to her, "What do you want?" She replied, "Promise that when you become king, these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and the other on your left." But Yeshua answered, "You people don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He said to them, "Yes, you will drink my cup, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It is for those for whom my Father has prepared it." Now, when the other 10 heard about this, they were outraged at the two brothers. Everything I just talked about, jealousy leading to this aspect of wanting to be in a position, it's right here. But Yeshua called them and said, "You know that among the goyim, the nations, those who are supposed to rule them become tyrants, and their superiors become dictators. Among you, it must not be like that. On the contrary, whoever among you wants to be a leader must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, for which I will say, anyone who wants to come up here and take my place, I will step aside." Sheep have little discernment in choosing their food. I relate this attribute to the internet and the thirst for learning more. Yet it is not quantity that is important, but quality. Thus, we must be careful where we choose to graze and thus what we choose to consume. There's an analogy that I live by. My wife doesn't like it all the time. Less is more. Because you're so hungry to learn more, sometimes it's not the quantity that you're learning, but taking a little bit and allowing God to multiply it. Rather than saying, "Okay, well, I got this. Okay, now I'm moving on to something else." It's not about that. We must be discerning in the pasture we graze from. Psalm 23. "Adonai is my shepherd, I lack nothing." We have his word, we lack nothing except our understanding. "He has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet water. He restores my inner person. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. Even if I pass through death-dark ravines, I will fear no disaster, for you are with me. Your rod and staff reassure me. You prepare a table for me, even as my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil from an overflowing cup. Goodness and grace will pursue me every day of my life, and I will live in the house of Adonai for years and years to come." What am I saying here? We're not going through a cafeteria picking our food. He prepares a table for us to sit down in, to partake in for years and years to come. Not for our sake, but for his own name's sake. Yet for our benefit. He restores my inner person. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. He's doing all of this for you, but he's doing it for his sake. Why? We're created in his image and likeness. We are his creation. His spirit lives within us. The life of the blood resides through us. It's no accident that when you dissect the heart into two, you see a shin. We must rely on Him to guide us, for which I will end here with our congregational verses for this year. My son, don't forget my teaching. Keep my commandments in your heart, for they will add to you many days, years of life, and peace. Do not let grace and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and esteem in the sight of God and of people. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will level your paths. And the verses that follow it, for which I believe pertains to a few of the sheep-like attributes we possess, don't be conceited about your own wisdom, but fear Adonai and turn from evil. This will bring health to your body and give strength to your bones. This conceited aspect, well, we're better than we think we are. The aspect of jealousy leading to factionalism. Wanting to sit at someone's right hand as a place of honor. In understanding what Yeshua conveys about us as sheep, we're able to understand more about ourselves and thus our tendencies. I warned you in advance, you're not going to like what I shared with you. And forewarning now, you're probably not going to like the other attributes that I'm going to share with you next week either. Question will be, how many of you will be here next week? But I want you to keep this in mind. I've done the attributes and the characteristics of sheep a couple of times in the past. Each time I do something a little different. This time, it's preparing you for what I believe is likely on the forefront for us. Brother against brother, sister against sister. We're seeing this in families now. Whether the divide is political, whether it is social or economic, whatever the divide is, it's not getting any better. So as sheep, as His sheep, He's preparing you for this time. He's preparing you for what is inevitable, I believe. I don't believe it's something that's going to just go away. If the last 2 years have proven anything, it's become more pronounced. It's become more divisive. We see the body of Messiah shrinking from 2020 to 2021, I think are the years. They estimated over 2 million people did not return to their congregation. Is this part of the apostasy? I don't believe it's a great apostasy, but I believe we're moving in that direction. Is God pruning His vines? I don't know if that's the case or not, for the simple reason that it's a choice whether you return or not. Could they be doing it from home? Yeah, we have people online. But what did I do originally? I allowed people to remain online until the state mandate was repealed. Then from that time on, we kept the online presence for various circumstances. If people are outside of a radius, hour and a half drive, I have people that drive an hour and a half to come here. If they're outside of that radius, okay, you can still be part of the congregation. It would be a little hard for Ted to get here. It'd be a little hard for Dennis and Heather to get here. So that's been a benefit and a blessing. So the question I have is, The people who aren't here aren't even online either. Where'd they go? That's my question. It's not the people that I can keep track of, the people that I know, the people that I've seen. It's the ones that I've known and haven't seen. Where are they? Could they have lost their faith in God, or maybe they've just been discouraged with whatever the circumstances are? I don't know. But when you look at 2 million people not returning to whatever the congregation is, where the shepherd can't even find them, or they don't respond to the shepherd's voice email, what happened? That's why it's so important now. Because it is so prominent now that things will distract us, will move us away from God. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe people are just frustrated. They're frustrated that they couldn't meet, so what happens when they can meet? They don't meet. I can't follow that logic. I would have thought that they would have been chomping at the bit to get here. How many of you struggled last week, even though some of you fellowshipped online, yet there was a gap between the last time we met and today? Some of you have shared with me, this is my recharging station. I need this every week with everything the world takes out of me. I'm glad everyone's here today, by the way. Amen. So keep these things in mind. The challenges are only going to get greater. The intensity is only going to be amplified. The challenges are going to become more stark. Well, if you're going to do that, I can't be your friend. Or I can't talk to you anymore because fill in the blank. Endless possibilities. Fill in your own blank. What's something that you may have confronted or you anticipate confronting? He's the one who sets your table. He's the one who puts the food on your table. He's the one who levels your path. This is the positive nature of being his sheep. Not the negative attributes, which I've amplified to give you an idea of just how we can be, but the shepherd knows his sheep. He's able to nurture his sheep. He's able to guide his sheep. So if you're one of his own, then these ideas, these characteristics that I have shared with you, you have overcome. You're not jealous of others in the congregation. You're not jealous of others who do one thing over another. You discern where you get your food and nourishment from in terms of the spiritual food. You're not competitive in terms of seeking positions, but you're encouraging, hoping everybody is together. You're not jealous of one another. Hopefully you have the ability to defend yourselves through the Word of God, whether it's things that I've shared with you or things that you've heard other places. I don't care if it's me who shares these things with you as long as you hear the right things. I hope you're not vulnerable to mob psychology, majority rules, groupthink. Well, we have to fit in with the Joneses. They're the ones who are the power couple of the community, whatever it is. I hope you're not easily influenced by me, taking whatever I say as gospel. I hope you test whatever I say. If it doesn't sound kosher, don't take it to another rabbi and say, can you bless this for me and make it kosher? The Word of God will be your litmus. And again, I'm showing you all my work here. I'm giving you the reasons why I'm saying this. But again, don't follow me blindly. And with that, we will end here, and you will have to wait patiently for the other characteristics that I have not yet revealed. So if everybody will please rise.